Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. We are having a spiritual Code Delicious today with Mr. Andrew Steed. He's an inspirational speaker, storyteller, guide to sacred travel, and shamanic practitioner. His latest book, Powering Up Your Life Story, is about available through Grosvenor Books. You want to get about 10 copies of that. They make great gifts. So, Andrew, you were telling us on the previous segment how you got started into this path, and can you just kind of pick it up there? Because it was really fascinating. So you trained with some Native American people, gone back over to your home in the British Isles, and kind of what happened then?
Well, what I was saying was that it was the First Peoples elders who said to me that medicine was strong. Their medicine, good medicine. My own was stronger. And so what I did was I started looking into my own medicine ways and started leading pilgrimages, started coming to the British Isles and bringing groups to wander the land. And that's an amazing piece because there's so many displaced Celts out there, people who are born in Canada, the United States, throughout the Caribbean, Australia, who actually have Celtic roots, who were moved on because of the Highland clearances in Scotland or the potato famine in Ireland, or their families moved away, and they yearn to touch the soil here, to connect to their roots. And so, if people are interested out there in touching the land here in a very authentic way, and you want to dance on pilgrimage with me, then you can check me out at www.andrewsteed.com. And it would be my pleasure to share some of the beautiful nematomes that we have here in the British Isles.
It's an amazing country. I had the good fortune to be over there actually several times, and of course doing some research for my upcoming book, Ancient Eats. With this volume one's coming out. This in volume two, we're actually looking at some of the Celtic traditions in terms of food, and of course. You know, I think the food and the spirit obviously kind of really go together. But returning to the work that you're doing with the land and with nature, and I think people too, when we talk about, you know, health, and folks are saying, well, you know, I'm going to eat this or that, I'm always talking about the food experience, because health and wellness is more than just nutrients and having a good blood pressure and doing a little exercise. There's so much involved in terms of our emotion, our spirit, our mind to achieve the physical well-being. And what you're doing when you're healing spirit and hearing spirit to listen to it, it is so important for overall health and wellness. What are some of that you've seen of your work?
Say that last bit again, Mike.
As I was just curious, from your perspective, what is some of the greatest impact that you see as a result of your work?
Well, you know, we can talk about going into the schools and working with the youth, powering up our life stories. My latest book was written through work I have done with youth, helping them to reclaim stories. That's an amazing piece, because what happens is we carry all of our stories in our body, and we all have so many different stories, and often the embarrassing stories, the abusive stories, they can get pushed down and held within our bodies. And unless we explore them and reclaim or reweave that energy, it's stagnant energy. And so that's a huge piece of the work that I do. It's important that we can help people transmute and transform. If we're stuck in our story, all we do is regurgitate the same old stagnation and it's rotten inside of us.
Well, those are such important points. And it's funny, back in the day when I used to teach martial arts, I used to run a martial arts training facility, a dojo. The first thing I would have folks do is learn how to walk. And somebody would come in and say, well, you know, I want to learn how to fight. You know, I want to, you know, be a ninja. I want to be Bruce Lee. And it's like, you know, I could tell by the way you walk, you're already defeated. Your shoulders are slumped. And it really, you know, I didn't get as deep as you did. I guess I took it at sort of a superficial form. But, you know, you can tell so much about somebody just right when you meet them. And I guess one of the things you've trained yourself to do is to be very observant when looking at others. And what other sorts of training have you had to undergone, and how has that affected you personally, do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, it's important to gather knowledge, and it's important to do your own work. You know, I have trained with many elders in understanding what I do. I go to the land a great deal too. The land has probably been my greatest teacher. But you know, it's a daily practice that is important here. It's the little things that and you know, like you were talking about how you walk. You know, it's how I wake up in the morning. You know, the first thing that we all do in the morning is we pass water, or we fill up the kettle to make a cup of tea or cup of coffee, or we clean our teeth. And the common piece here is water. We all have a connection with water first thing. What do we do with that? How many of us give thanks and put a blessing on the waters? That is a huge piece of waking to connect us with nature, to connect us with this planet, because we call it planet Earth, but really, aren't we on planet water? There's certainly more water than there is Earth.
You are absolutely right. And not only is the Earth mostly water, when you come down to it, we're salt water. Majority of what we're made up. And so I was just thinking, as you said that, a blessing on the waters is really a good way to start with a positive blessing on yourself.
Absolutely. That's what in the Celtic world, we say all waters are related. And as you just said there, we are mostly water. So as we put a blessing on the water, you know, in my cosmology, all things are connected. The Celts would say, I am the wind, I am the eagle, I am the tree. You know, I buy into that. That's my cosmology. And so in blessing the waters and blessing all of the waters, of course, they return right to me. And if my own waters are cleansed, I can hold more space. I have to do the work. Each of us has to do the work. And I do believe that when we take those small steps and we are consistent with them, what we do is we raise our consciousness. And if we are going to co-create a new, beautiful world, it's going to take us raising our consciousness and being disciplined in connecting and appreciating what it is that we have, which is life.
I think that is, and you said that so beautifully, and I think what certainly from a health and food and sort of science perspective is that we're finally coming around to your point of view. I think after we sort of divorced ourselves from the natural world, we became disengaged when we put machines between us with the onset of the Industrial Revolution, which obviously has great benefits. It allows you and I to talk across the pond instantaneously. Yeah. But, you know, that old saying, in life, there's nothing free. We can pay a price for it. There can be a dark side, and it can divorce us from the natural world. And certainly in medicine, we've moved away from food and understanding how important that is in healing us and keeping us alive, and not only alive, but a sense of well-being. Yet now we're finding that this incredible thing called the gut microbiome is that we have a symbiotic relationship with the world's oldest just organisms, bacteria. We haven't even touched on viruses and yeast and fungi that live inside us. And so, wow, we eat things that we think don't affect us, but they affect this gut microbiome. And then all of a sudden, we make them ill. And then we get in as a result. So I think when you talk about your cosmology, it's a very real, very valid. And now, really, we've only learned that in the last decade. But there's a lot of science between, you know, us and the Earth. And I think that that really gives a lot of support and validity to, you know, what you call a cosmology. I would say absolutely, but there's a lot of hard science there too. And these are just some examples we're kind of rediscovering. So I also think it's amazing that you say you have to get out and work every day. So it's not like being a ninja master, is it? Like you get a certificate, you know, off the internet and that's it.
it's a constant practice. It really is. And you know, in returning to connecting with the natural world, it takes us out of the box. I mean, the big words a few years ago was think outside of the box, and yet we sit in boxes, we watch boxes, inside boxes, we eat our breakfast out of boxes. You know, people think because the packaging says it's healthy, it is, without actually reading what they're eating. It's about stepping outside of the box and going, putting our hearts on the land. And that's why I love pilgrimage. And that's why people love coming on pilgrimage. You know, I've, over the years, taught people to love being out in the rain. So many people look at the weather and decide that that's how their day is. If it's raining, oh, it's a terrible day today. Hello? Why do you think we live in a green island over here in Scotland? You know, it's because it rains. However, you when you go out into the rain and you feel the rain, you connect with the rain, you can have as much fun on a rainy day as on a sunny day. And you certainly get to know the shades and the shapes, and you understand yourself so much better because you've smelt the grass, you've touched the flowers, you've listened to what a tree has had to say to you that day.
Well, I think that's so important because you know, so often, like you said, we get in these boxes and we hop into boxes with wheels and we drive to another box. And, yep. You know, we don't take that, you know, 5 minutes to kind of center and ground ourselves. And again, you're making me relive my martial arts day, which is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. But, you know, I remember back and we would say, well, you know, if you don't have 5 minutes in your day to kind of center yourself, you probably need 10.
Absolutely. You know, it and it starts right from the word go. When we get up in the morning and we face, you know, the day. You know, another one, my fiance Joyce, both of us, when we get our food, the first thing that we do is we bless the food, we thank the food. You know, I travel so much, so I don't always know where the food is coming from. If I'm home, then I'm buying organic food. When I go on pilgrimage, I look to take to the pilgrims to places that I know. You know, some of the places have their own organic gardens, and if we're on Iona, we're going to go and eat in the hotels there, and the food is absolutely delicious. But you know, sometimes you are going to be sitting on a plane, you don't know who's prepared that food, you don't know if they loved the food as they were cooking the food. And now it's going into your body and it's going to fuel you. And so it's so important to give thanks to all of the beings that brought that food to your plate to go into your body.
It is. And I remember, again, being in Japan, and I had the good fortune to sit with the Soke, the sort of the grand master, if you will. And we were talking about sushi, and he said, you know, you need to give thanks because that fish gave its life for you. And yes, so that you could go on. And he said, you know, that is the greatest thing that fish could do. And you need to thank it. And I think people forget that, you know, when you go to the store, it didn't come in a little box. You know, it came from somewhere. Something gave its life for you, and you need to understand that. You know, plants as well as animals, fish, etc. So something has given its life so that you may have life. So in true sense of the word, it really is that that circle of life. And back to your point about how we're all connected in the simple act of eating. And I think one of the things that I teach when we're looking to help people get back on the path of feeling better, health and wellness, and, you know, through delicious, wholesome, to borrow your word, authentic food, is you got to source it. You got to get back to the source and know where it came from. And in the sense, I get what you're telling us is hey, a shaman kind of helps you from a spiritual perspective get back to the source and the roots. Would that be fair?
Yes, absolutely fair. You know, you're connecting. You know, we are human beings. And so what the shaman is doing is helping us being in connecting. And when we connect to spirit and we are in the moment of our lives, we can fully appreciate that moment. You know, so many of us are rushing to get there. So many people go on cruise control through life. They're on autopilot. So, you know, taking time out to go on pilgrimage, taking time to breathe. It's amazing how many people do not breathe fully. You know, I mean, they're simple practices, but all of these things, you know, they build up. And of course, when you come and play in the worlds that we do, and it is fun, it is playful, and yet it is deep, authentic work. You know, we work so many different pieces throughout the year, and gathering groups together to say sweep the world clean at the Celtic New Year of Samhain, where we sing home the displaced souls, and we stand up for life, which we'll be doing in Cornwall this year. I'm very excited about that. We've wild hunted in Canada, United States, in Scotland, and it's an annual thing. I'll certainly be wild hunting again stateside and hopefully in Canada. But this year it's in Cornwall. To come and do those things is to offer not only an opportunity for self-healing, it's all about planetary healing. It's about helping all beings.
So when you say you're wild hunting, you're not actually hunting any animals, correct?
No, we're not wild. No, we're not hunting any animals. The wild hunt is a great ritual where we work within a container. We have a space. It could be indoors in a room. I like to do it outside whenever possible. And what we do is we sweep the world clean. It's not to hurt any other beings. It's to help all beings. And if people are interested, please go to my website at www.andrewsteed.com. Email me asteed@andrewsteed.com and ask me more about this wild hunt thing. And there are pieces of that in Powering Up Your Life Stories. So if it calls to people, research, find out, ask the questions, and then if you're called, come and join me somewhere in the world.
Now, does somebody have to be or have Celtic roots to work with you?
No, you don't. I mean, the Celts were great at adopting. However, you need to have a yearning. You need to have a yearning to touch the Isles, to be involved. Because if your yearning is not for Celtic, if your yearning is to go to Peru, go to Peru. If your yearning is to study with First Elders, you know, go there. It's going where your heart calls and finding the teachers that will help you to dance deeper on your own pathway.
And that is wonderful, to follow your heart. But I don't want you guys to leave just yet. We've got more with Andrew Steed on Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.